Proverbs 26, verse 1. These are God's words. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, snow in the winter is beautiful, and it remains, it insulates the ground, it stores up moisture that will be released slowly in the spring. It is beautiful and fitting and useful. If it were to snow in the summer, it would almost immediately melt. There's not the storing up of the moisture. It actually gives less moisture than rain would have. It doesn't have the beauty that remains, as it is almost immediately turns into slop. It's just not fitting. Rain is often needed, especially in Israel. The early rains and the late rains were necessary in the growing season for all the particular crops that they would grow. But when it comes to harvest time, rain can ruin that which you had. There was a time back in when we were still in Mississippi, and another congregation from, I think, about an hour and a half away, that was all farmers, was candidating me first time I came, and I was going to lead worship, and I asked them what I should pray for their congregation. It was the middle of the summer, and they said, oh, we really need some rain. So we prayed for rain, and the Lord did give them rain. And a month or two later, I was back again. They were having me come back and lead worship again and preach again. I neglected to ask what to pray for, and I prayed for rain again. And after the worship service, the elders pulled me aside, and they said, you know, the Lord listened to your prayers last time, but we really hope that he answers in the negative this time. Because if we get the rain that we got last time, you led us in worship, is going to put all our cotton in the ground, and we'll lose the whole harvest. We'll lose the whole crop. So rain in harvest is unfitting. And these two illustrations he gives, he says, so honor is not fitting for a fool. When a fool gets honor, he does not use it to lead others well, to be a good example to them, to use his influence to do good to others. Honor on a fool is useless and wasted and harmful. He becomes proud. He thinks that his foolish and wicked ideas and plans are good because he has been honored. It discourages those who are actually wise, and they see that the fools are the ones who are getting the honor, and so what's the use? It can be very harmful, and even worse, perhaps worst of all, it's offensive to God. Honor is not fitting for a fool. So three applications here. One is, do not give honor to fools. You know, treat them as in the image of God, but remember that they are fools. And God gives you lots of instruction. We just had one a couple days ago when we were in chapter 23, and we had come to verse 9, where you don't waste your wise words on a fool. Don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So one is, don't give honor to fools. Don't be a flatterer. Don't think that they can be helped by pumping up their self-esteem or by putting them in important positions or giving them important tasks. There is a, no irony intended, very foolish approach to leadership, where you take those who are fools or those who are outsiders or those who are new or those who are uncommitted, and you give them important tasks to try and pump them up. No, it doesn't work. It's like snow in summer and rain in harvest. You yourself are foolish if you give honor to the fool. The second thing is not to worry when fools are getting honor. The Lord is the one who gives us this instruction here, and it's often the case. Justin has ordinary promise that when a fool does get honor, God causes that honor to fall to the ground. God causes that honor to dissipate. And when he doesn't, it's not because he has forgotten his own righteousness and his own precepts, his own principles. There is a good and wise purpose of God, often for judgment. He allows fools to come into positions of honor. Certainly, we might look at what has happened in much of the church and the civil sphere in our day and say this is judgment from God. But we ought not to fret. It is like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest. God is still on the throne, and he will use whatever, whoever the fool is, for whatever his good and wise purposes are, and they will not prevail, especially now that the mediator, God the Son, who became man to be our Christ, sits on the throne of heaven. So now there is not only the superintending sovereign providence of God, but there is the currently reigning mediator, the Lord Jesus. And we have no reason to fret when fools get honor. But perhaps the most immediate application for you is not to crave honor from others, but to be honorable, that you would be wise, that the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of him, belonging to him, would be behind what you do and how you think and how you interact, that you would have integrity, that you would be truthful, that you would be faithful, that you would keep your promises, that you would be unselfish, serving others, more concerned with how you can serve than with how much others are failing to serve you, bearing the fruits of the Spirit from your union with Christ as the Holy Spirit himself applies Christ to you. All of the aspects of your character that would come out in that: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that you would be more concerned with being honorable than with being honored. For if the Lord were to give you in other people's eyes high esteem or high honor without you being honorable, then it would be like snow in summer or rain in harvest. The honor would not be good for you. It would not be good for your character. It would not be good for what you in your mind or heart would think or hope you would be able to accomplish with it. This dovetails well with what we heard yesterday in chapter 25, that you don't put yourself in the place of honor because you think you are the wise or righteous one that the king needs. You take the low position and you conduct yourself in wisdom and righteousness. And you let the king lift you up to another position. Trust God to do what is right and best with whether or not you are honored. But you don't go after others honoring you the way you go after, by grace, being honorable. And let the Lord sort that out. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that the Lord Jesus has the name that is above every name, that you are making his enemies a footstool for his feet, that he who is the wisdom of God is the one who is honored above all others. Give us to love his honor and to desire his honor, that by your Spirit applying to us not only faith in Christ, but Christ himself through that faith, you would grow us and make us more and more honorable until we come into the day when we are glorified together with him. Give us patience and humility while we wait for the day, we ask. In his name, amen.